With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. The COVID-19 vaccine is the first major use of an mRNA vaccine. The so-called messenger RNA uses genetic material to create immunity. Healthcare experts hope explaining how it works will ease some people's concerns. SDPB's Jackie Hendry has more.
A vaccine with messenger RNA triggers an immune response. Dr. Jennifer Hsu is an infectious disease physician at Sanford USD Medical Center.
Essentially, this messenger from the vaccine is prompting our cells to present a small piece of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, this spike protein that's harmless to us, to our cells so that our cells are then prompted to make antibodies.
The vaccine does not use fetal tissue or live coronavirus cells, but some people are still nervous about injecting genetic material into their bodies. Dr. Hsu says the mRNA dissolves once it's done its job, and it doesn't alter a person's DNA.
You can think of it an email that gets deleted, a Snapchat message that gets deleted. It does not integrate into our genetic material in any way or linger in that cell long term.
There are some minor side effects like muscle aches or mild fever. Dr. Hsu says those reactions from the first dose shouldn't discourage a person from getting the second dose of the vaccine.
And actually, it's encouraging because those side effects arise from the fact that your immune system is mounting a good response to the SARS-CoV-2 virus.
Anyone concerned about the vaccine should talk with their primary care provider. Dr. Shankar Kura is vice president of medical affairs at Monument Health. He says the vaccine is safe and effective.
Remember, this is a great new technology. We are even very fortunate to have an efficacy rate of 95%. The only other vaccine that was this good is the measles vaccine at 98% efficacy. So this is a great vaccine. Take it.
The general public probably won't have access to the COVID-19 vaccine for a couple months. It's going first to healthcare workers and long-term care residents. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jackie Hendry.
The South Dakota Department of Health is expanding COVID-19 testing efforts with free at-home kits. The department is working with digital healthcare company Vault Health to distribute and process saliva-based tests. Health Secretary Kim Malsom-Risden says the kits were designed to make testing more accessible.
The person orders the test from the company, it is shipped to their house overnight. They then get on a always revolving Zoom meeting for help with collecting the saliva specimen and packaging that saliva specimen, and then they drop it in an overnight mail carrier. The postage is prepaid, and it's shipped directly to the laboratory for processing.
Malsom-Risden says a processing lab will deliver results by email within 2 days. She says more than 500 people have used the kits since the beginning of December. According to the State Health Department, more than 680,000 COVID tests have already been administered by medical professionals. Two Chicago heroin dealers have appealed their convictions for causing overdoses, one of them fatal, in Sioux Falls. Judges from the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals heard arguments in the combined cases Tuesday. Defendants say the affected drug users had an assortment of substances in their systems, but the U.S. Attorney for South Dakota says the overdoses would not have happened if not for the heroin. Victoria Wicks has more on this case for SDPB.
Michael Hansen is a Sioux Falls attorney representing Maurice Cathy before the 8th Circuit. He says the government did not prove that the heroin Cathy sold caused the death of Lane Diaz in January 2018. Hansen says Diaz did not die immediately after using the heroin.
It's not a situation where the police came upon someone who had a hypodermic needle in them and was found unresponsive on the floor.
He says an autopsy revealed other drugs in Diaz's system, including morphine, fentanyl, marijuana, amphetamine, codeine, and tramadol. Sioux Falls attorney Manny DeCastro argues for Corrid Phillips. He says Phillips admits he was dealing drugs, so his conviction for distribution of cocaine and heroin is not at issue. But Phillips disputes his conspiracy conviction. DeCastro says when OD victims have an assortment of drugs in their systems, it's impossible to know which drug caused the death. He cites medical testimony heard at trial.
Methamphetamine in combination with heroin is what's called on the street as a speedball and dramatically increases the toxicity and the potential for overdose when those two are mixed.
Federal prosecutor Jennifer Maminga says Narcan saved some of the users, indicating they had overdosed on opioids. She says it would not have worked on other drugs such as meth, and she says the heroin itself explains the presence of fentanyl in users' systems.
We heard testimony at trial also that fentanyl and fentanyl analogs are commonly laced in heroin without even the dealers knowing.
She says evidence shows that Kathy and Phillips distributed heroin laced with fentanyl, whether they knew it or not. The appellate court will issue an opinion at a later date. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks recently finished collecting 900,000 salmon eggs at Lake Oahe, ending this year's spawning operations. Bob Hanton is a fisheries biologist for Game, Fish, and Parks. Hanton says they gather the eggs to replenish the lake's salmon stock every year. He says there's enough food and cold water for the fish to live in the Missouri River, but they need help to spawn.
These are wild strain fall Chinook salmon, but they are all raised in a hatchery or spend the early part of their life in a hatchery. We don't have natural reproduction of Chinook salmon in Lake Hawaii, so if we don't collect the eggs and hatch them at the hatchery and bring them back and stock them in Lake Hawaii, we wouldn't have any salmon in the future.
Hanton says they expect around a third of their eggs to successfully hatch for next year's salmon season. He says more people were fishing the lake this year than any year in the past decade. Authorities say six people accused of setting up a Rapid City homeless camp without the proper requirements and obstructing law enforcement are facing city and state charges. Daniel Yazzie, Mark Tilson Jr., Hermes Bedelyun, James Pipe on Head, Mary Fruman, and Carrie Middletent were all charged by the Pennington County State's Attorney's Office with obstructing police officers. Fruman and Middletent were also charged with resisting arrest. The six people were later charged by the Rapid City Attorney's Office with breaking three Rapid City codes relating to trespassing and failing to obtain the needed permits in floodplain zones. Supporters say they're being criminalized for helping people. That's your daily news update. Follow SDPB News on social and visit sdpb.org/news to keep up with our journalism as it comes in. Thank you for listening.